Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Insight Show. This is your host, Shreyas. I have my senior, Mayank, here with me from Mechanical Engineering, fourth year from IIT Roper. And today we have a very awesome guest who is currently a project leader at BCG and has worked there for over 6 years. He is one of our IIT Roper batch toppers and has also scored a CAT 100 percentile. Help me in welcoming Mr. Anshul Garg. Hello. Hello, Bhaiya. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Hi, Shreyas. Hey, Mayank. I'm doing quite well. How are you both doing?
I'm great.
I'm great too. How are you?
Very well, Mayank. Good to be here on the show.
So where are you currently located and how is work these days?
So currently, I'm actually based out of my hometown. So I'm originally from Chandigarh. So currently, staying with my parents. And the work has all shifted to work from home now. This is something we had never really anticipated could ever happen, that the entire consulting world could also move to work from home. Like, one of the most unheard of and unbelievable things. Had we not been in the COVID world, no one would have ever sort of believed in this. But yeah, everything changes. And now all of us consultants are also working from home.
Right. So it might be quite a different experience because consultants are like always traveling here and there. And right now you have to just keep working in your home. So how is it different from like, how is the work different from the traditional consulting experience, like meeting clients on Zoom or maybe on Google Meet and then making big deals, maybe worth millions with huge companies, huge CEOs on Zoom? How does it feel? How has the experience changed?
You're right in there, Shreyas. So the experience is very different. Before COVID, we were all working on the ground. Then the way consulting works is that you have to be, at least for the big three, BCG, McKinsey, Bain, we work very closely with the clients and we are working with the clients out of their offices most of the time. So the way we work is it's very hand in glove kind of a relationship where we are like with them throughout the implementation, throughout whatever piece of work we are doing, right? And it's very close engagement with multiple meetings throughout the day. That's how we used to work earlier, but now that we are all working from home, it has changed quite a lot. There's both like pros and cons to it as well, I would say. I think some of the pros are while people talk about the cons a lot, but I think I see some of the silver lining in there. Some of the pros for me personally is I think the entire world is now a lot more structured. So generally, otherwise, it's very difficult to control your calendar, control your time. There could be so many meetings which would pop up in the day without, which are completely unplanned. Nowadays, since everything is virtual, people are all like forced to become more organized, which I like generally like, given that it gives you more control over your day. In terms of meeting with the clients, I think that's true. Some of those conversations which used to be just a quick knock on the door and you could just walk in and have a quick chat, or it could be a water cooler interaction, all of those have gone out. So while it gives you more control over your day, at the same time it comes at a cost of not being able to always be there with the team, right? So in that sense, yes, it feels different. But I think we are now in a phase that it's been almost a year, close to a year that we've been working in this mode. So yeah, like people have gotten used to it.
Right. So I'd like to start your story from the IIT Roper days. So you were the electrical branch department topper and you've been an outstanding student for almost your entire life. So can you like explain us your story before IIT and how IIT had changed you?
I will have to think hard. It's been quite a lot of years now. I joined IIT Roper when the college was into very early days. So ours was the second batch overall, but the first one in terms of, because the previous batch had started from IIT Delhi. So ours was in a way the first batch which started on the campus. And that time we used to be on this transit campus, which was like a mess when we all got there. So the experience has been life-changing, I would say. There's so many things which you never get to learn while you are living with your parents and you are in that protected environment. I, for one, didn't actually even go to Kota or any other place to study. I mean, a lot of people get that experience when they do that, right? For me, it was the first time when I actually stepped out of home and like all that awesomeness which comes along with it, and out of that comfort, and got into IIT. So it's been a life-changing experience, both on the personal and the professional front, I would say. There's so many amazing people that you meet, and you find out that no matter whatever you thought you were good at, there's like someone who's always better than you at that. It could be anything. It could be academics. It could be simple subjects like mathematics, or it could be any sport. So the kind of hobbies or the kind of extracurrics I also picked at IIT, those are things which I still continue with. So I started playing volleyball for the first time in life at IIT. I like got a lot more involved into the experiments and doing some of those lab work, which teaches you a lot more than just the theory. All of those happened at IIT. Given that ours was one of the early batches, there was so much that we had to do to build the college, right? So there were multiple clubs that we initiated, and nothing was like preset for us. So we knew that these kind of things happen at other IITs. But for us, all of those were like new things. We had to ourselves create it. So we organized the first cultural festival for the college. So that was again an experience. A lot of these things which we initiated, I think some of those things which we like anytime that any of our batch, my batchmates, we meet, we always reminisce those things. So I think it's been a big life-changing learning experience.
Right. So, and along all with all of this, you were the branch topper for electrical engineering. So what is the story on that?
I originally actually started in the same department as you. So I was in mechanical in my first year. And then a couple of friends who were the department topper after the first year, we got a chance to switch, and we took electrical at that time. So yeah, probably in hindsight, I think I would recommend people to go for CS rather than electrical. But yeah, I don't sort of repent the decision. I'm happy that we got to experience both the sides. Yeah, I think overall, I mean, I always liked academics as well. So that's something where I didn't really have to put too much effort, I would say. That's something which came naturally. It's just that I always knew that that's one thing I don't want to let go. While there's like so many other things we are focusing on and spending our time on, be it sports, be it cultural activities, academics is something I would want to excel in as well. So I think it was more about just balancing between the multiple things. I think that's like a decision which all of us have to make, right? Given that there's so many things you could do. So you have to make a choice in that sense, what really matters to you the most, and just spend your time wisely.
Right.
So you brilliantly managed your CAD preparation as well with your academic goals. So what was your preparation method? What tips would you like to give? And achieving a 100% score, I gave CAD this year, so I know what it takes to get that 100%. The road from 99 to that 100 is a big journey. So what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so Mayank, very good question. And I was quite surprised in the beginning when we were just having a chat before the podcast around what your goals are for both of you. I'm quite surprised that both of you are quite already decided that you would want to do consulting at least for some time, right? For me and for I think most of the people in our batch, it wasn't really the case. Given that one, we didn't really have that kind of a support system or that kind of a mentorship that you must be getting from your seniors right now. So for me, I think it was never really decided that I wanted to do MBA. I was equally open to doing MS or MBA, and given that I had decent academics, so that also allowed me to sort of have those options open. Then it was sometime around third year when Bullseye actually came to Roper and they opened a center, because the previous year, Sriram from the first batch, our senior batch, had scored 100 percentile, and that sort of led them to know that like this IIT exists and there's like smart people in there, so why don't just go and teach them. So they just came in and they sort of marketed, and then me along with some of our friends just chose to sort of do those classes. And then, I mean, definitely CAT preparation compared to IIT, JEE, I always felt like was a cakewalk in that sense, given that like it's not as intense, I would say. It's different, I would say. I mean, it could be intense. You have to obviously put that hard work and effort, but it's different in that sense. So, but both the topics, both LR, maths, and verbal and English in that sense, like were topics which I liked. So it was just a genuine interest which led me to sort of prepare for it. And balancing between the ACADS and CAT preparation, I never really felt like it was a very difficult task. As we were just discussing, that it's more about balancing between multiple things and you have to choose where to spend the time, right? So around third year when we were preparing for it, I would just spend like a little lesser time in playing Age of Empires and Counter-Strike, just take out some time from there. You could do a little lesser extracurricular activities and that gives you enough time. And after that, it's just about like how much you personally think it is right for you and how much you invest in it, right? So I think it's a doable job. And given that in front of us, we had an example of one of our seniors achieving it. So I just felt like it's worth giving a shot to it. Never really aimed for 100 percentile. As you rightly said, it's not really something you can aim for per se. I mean, beyond a point, getting 99.96 or getting 100 is, I mean, it takes the same amount of effort. And you can't really aim to get 100 percentile. But yeah, you can just attempt for it, right? So that's how I went about it. Surprisingly, in the year that I took it, there was one of friends of mine, Anuj Jain from computer science, who also got 99.96. And we sometimes just used to joke about it that it might just be a matter of one question that I might have got right and he must have just attempted it wrong. So, I mean, beyond a point, you can't control these things.
Right. So that was an excellent story, but you sound too modest about it. Like, yeah, it just happened, but definitely you have put in a lot of effort towards it, right?
No, I don't want to shy away from that. So I don't want to give a different, to form an illusion for people that you don't really have to put a hard work. You definitely have to do that. And you can ask some of those stories of my roommate, Arun, who was my roommate at that time in IIT. That definitely I used to wake up early to sort of take some of those mock tests, spend late nights in preparing for those. I mean, I think the syllabus is not a lot. It's just that you need to practice a lot for CAT. Both, taking those mock tests and then analyzing where you went wrong and how could you improve both your speed and accuracy. So I definitely put in all that hard work for it. So don't want to give that false opinion to people that it's not really the case and it's like it's a cakewalk and you could just show up in the exam. Definitely not the case. You have to put in the hard work, but I think it's doable is my point.
So after that, you decided to just go for IIM Calcutta. How did that happen?
So after that, I think once I got 100 percentile, then it was more of a journey was like self-made. I mean, after that, I didn't really ever had to stop and think whether I would go for an MS or an MBA. I mean, while I could have probably and the life would have been different if had I taken that call. But yeah, since I mean, I got the 100 percentile, there were like so many things which happened around it. There were like local news channels and all who showed up at home. So, I mean, in a way, the world makes you a celebrity at that time. So all of that happened. And then I got calls from all the IIMs and did the preparations for the interviews as well quite seriously. And after that, I converted Calcutta and Ahmedabad and chose to go for Calcutta, given that I had I was more interested in the finance sector. And between the three IIMs, ABC, Calcutta is the one which gives you the most opportunities in that sense. Surprisingly, I didn't clear Bangalore, but rest of all the IIMs I had cleared. So that's how I landed at Calcutta.
So, as you mentioned that you had an inclination towards finance, and we know that you have hustled a lot. You, I think, explored SD during your CAT during your BTech. Then you even did a consulting internship, and then you had a interest in finance, and then finally you took the offer of BCG from IIM Calcutta. So since we have a lot of opportunities available at this time, so what advice would you give to the juniors that whether they should explore all the fields or just pick up one and then go into that field?
That's an interesting question, Mayank. So, if I reflect back on my own journey, I think it was always difficult to make that choice, given that there's plenty of options, and at the same time, you don't know what you are sort of setting yourself up for. So, as I said, for me, I was till the time I got 100% percentile in CAT, not very sure on whether I would want to pursue MS or MBA. And then from there, the journey was in a way self-made. So for anyone going on that path now, all the juniors from IIT or in any of my cousins as well who sort of seek advice, I just suggest that if you are clear, if you know what it entails, and if you're clear on what that path is, right? For example, for both of you, the way you mentioned, you're focused on a particular like domain that you want to end up in eventually, then I would suggest just aim for that. But at the same time, keep the options open for yourself. Just sort of have a view on what are the other things that you could rather be, right? Because once you've landed at IIT and all of you are smart people, so it's not that there's any dearth of options for you. It's just that while we are in that journey, we feel like we don't have as much control. But I can tell you, having been through that journey and reflecting now, that you do have that control, and there's a lot of options out there. So if you know that if either of any of your friends or your uncle's son or any of your cousins or someone has been through that journey and you really know what it entails and you want to go for this, then just focus on that. At the same time, just sort of keep the eyes and ears open and see what is happening. If you are not, then as well, don't worry. It's just that give your best to whatever you are doing. I think that would be my advice. So if whether it is consulting or whether it is aiming for an MBA or preparing for GMAT or MS, just give your best because there's nothing that you can't really achieve.
That is powerful, definitely. So after your MBA, you ended up in consulting while you went to IIM for finance roles, right? So how did that journey, how did IIM change you to become more of a consultant rather than a finance guy?
So, like we do internships at IIT, so in IIMS as well, you do an internship. So at the end of the first year, so I went for, given that I knew that I was more interested in finance, I just wanted to sort of explore a little bit outside. For the internship in the first year, I went to Maersk. So this is like the largest shipping company in the world. And I did a role of a consultant in there. It was internal consulting where I got to sort of see the overall end-to-end value chain of how they work across the different departments, starting from the F&A agent who sort of books the containers all the way to how that entire thing happens, right? And how the material moves from one place to another. And while doing that, I realized that this is also something which is quite interesting, given that as a consultant, you get to work on very difficult problems, challenging problems which lead you to push yourself, push the thinking. And it's always not always just analytics or just the problem-solving bit of it. That could be done on paper as well. But at the same time, when you have to work with so many people to make that happen, suppose you have found like some amazing cool solution. And if you are a software developer, you could just go and write your own code and get done with it, right? But as a consultant, you have to find that solution and then you have to work with all the people to make it happen. A lot of time it takes, hard work in just persuading people on why it is the right thing to do and then getting it implemented on the ground. And when you see the light of the day, for something that you have worked upon, It's a great feeling. So that's something which I experienced at that time. And then during the finals, when the placement was happening, then I just thought BCG was a good option. And I had some of my seniors who had already been there. And overall, it sounded like a nice bunch of people. And even when we interacted with them during the PPTs, it sounded like a good set of people whom I would want to work with. And so far, I think I've made the right decision. So it's just going well so far. So yeah, that's how I landed up in BCG.
Okay, so would you recommend a UG student to prepare for consulting right after undergraduate, or would you just suggest him to first complete his MBA and then proceed into the consulting firm industry?
So it's a mix of both the demand and supply, I would say. So for us, when we were in the UG, that time we didn't really have even a single opportunity to go into any of the consulting companies, given that we were just getting even the core companies to come to IIT Roper for the first time. For anyone passing out of IIT Roper now, so if you think that that's something you want to pursue as a career, then you can, by all means, start preparing for consulting right away. At the same time, I think for us at campus right now, I don't think any of the bigger ones, any of the three MBBs do come to the campus. That might just limit your options passing out of IIT Roper right now. If you want to go for some boutique consulting, you can do that. The other option, the better one, I would say, is to, if you are so hard set on consulting, to go for an MBA. It's just that the options open up a lot from there, and all the old IIMs do get all the three companies. And so in that sense, I think it the chances of you landing in consulting would be much higher.
So now that you have been at BCG for over 6 years, and how the experience has been, and just tell us more about the inside life of BCG. We've all heard about the glamorous life from the outside, but tell me more about the meetings. How does it feel to be sitting with huge CEOs, huge clients, and all the glamorous part also, but also the not much known parts of it.
Fair. So I think there's quite a lot of glamour about consulting. A lot of it used to be in travel, actually. So in the pre-COVID times, when you used to work with the clients and when you used to visit the client cities and client offices, then obviously you get to take multiple flights in a week. You stay in all those fancy five-star hotels. So yeah, that brings quite a lot of glamour to consulting. What I like the most about consulting in particular in my first year, if I think about it, and that's also been around 5 years back now. So definitely when the first time you get to travel so frequently, it's a different experience, but it again comes with both pros and cons. While you can travel to so many different cities and stay in all the fanciest hotels in any of the big cities. But yeah, waking up at 5 or 6 a.m. on a Monday morning to take a flight, it doesn't feel right when you are doing it at that time. So it comes with its cons as well. In terms of my personal experience, what I liked the most in my first year was one, the travel, given that you don't generally do that so often before that in life. But more so was the experience of working with the clients and working with the CEO or CXO level clients. So what would surprise you is that in the first year itself, a lot of factors have to work out in your favor, but you can be presenting to a CEO. And I was working with, in my first project within BCG, I was working with quite a few senior clients, and one of the CXOs was someone I used to present to. So he wasn't my direct client counterpart, but he was my manager's client counterpart at that time. But I used to present to him in multiple meetings. And the one that I used to work with directly was also a senior. So he was the head of procurement for the firm that we were working for. So in that sense, it's a very different experience, and you also sort of get a little bit overwhelmed in the beginning, but at the same time, once you know your stuff and once you know what you are talking about, right? And if you're confident enough, then consulting opens up a lot of opportunities for you. So definitely it's a good experience to be working with such senior clients, getting to see the overall picture of any business, right? Given that you work across multiple industries, multiple projects in the first few years. So getting to see all of that about so many different industries, it's a very good experience overall. And consulting, I think, just broadens your perspective and broadens the overall way you look at things quite a lot. So whenever now I face a problem, then I know a parallel of how it could be done in a different industry. So in that sense, consulting is a good experience, I would say, for anyone who is wanting to look at the larger picture or wanting to see what are the real challenges that the businesses face. I think those are the things which I like the most about it.
Yeah. So your BCG experience definitely has been great. But I would like to ask you one particular question about your career. Like you would know that because most people in consulting, they leave after 2-3 years. And so what makes you stay in consulting after so many years?
So Shreyas, I think it's a good question. And at the end of the day, it depends on what do you want out of your life and what motivates you, what keeps you going. The way you mentioned that consulting is not easy and it can get very hectic, and it does obviously keep you busy all the time, right? So I don't think anyone joins consulting because they are workaholic or because they like to work so many hours. I think what matters is what do people care for the most. So as you said, there's a lot of people who end up not being with consulting after 2 years, after 3 years. And there's multiple reasons for that. It's not always So one of it could be that people figure out that after doing it for 2 years, that it's not a life that they would want to continue, and they would rather want to start up at their own, or they would want to join the industry directly. So that would be one reason. Another one could be that after 2 years, typically in all the big consultings in companies, in BCG, McKinsey, Bain, there is a career transition. So that's like a promotion sort of a stage. And at that time as well, in consulting, there's quite a lot of filtering which does happen. So if you're not really that good, then the firm can also take a call to ask you to leave. So that is another reason why some people drop out after 2 years. And actually that happens throughout the career. So consulting has very strict up or out policy. So generally, if you are progressing in your career throughout, or you can't really stagnate in your career. So every 2-2.5 years, you get that chance where you're either getting promoted or you're asked to leave. So in that sense, it's a little bit competitive world. And that's like multiple reasons why people might be leaving after a few years. And actually that happens in all the industries. It's not very specific to consulting. I think it happens in all the cutthroat, in all the competitive industries, be it any of the investment banks, be it PEs, VCs, everywhere you see that kind of these companies provide you high growth trajectory, fast growth trajectory. At the same time, it does come with that cost that if things are not working, then you might have to switch. So that's how it works. Personally, for me, when I joined consulting, I always thought of it to be a 6-month journey. So I came in with the view that I would try it for 6 months and then take a call whether this is something which motivates me or whether I would want to continue or not. And I would give myself that chance, that 6 months, and then think about whether I want to go someplace else. And so far, it's actually been the case, like throughout the 6 years that I've been here, that I feel like I can be here at the time. And if I see myself being here for the next 6 months, that I can definitely answer. But if you ask me, would I be here after 2 years? I don't know. So I think that's how I have gone about it so far.
So I'd like to ask one very important question. What are your goals in life or your career? And what are you working towards? Sure, you've been working hard for a long time. When you were in IIT, you've hustled a lot. At IIM, you were Institute Rank 8 at IIM Calcutta, which is in itself a difficult thing. Being IIT topper is also a difficult thing. Coming to IIT is also a difficult thing. So you've already been staying at BCG for 6 years. So all of these difficult things, you're getting better and better at doing these difficult things. But what are you working towards, and what are your major goals in life?
It's a very deep question, Cheers. So I can talk about what motivates me and what keeps me going, because I think that's something which is just even now which has kept me going and why I have done whatever I've done so far, right? I think solving difficult problems and solving challenging problems, that's something which always inspires me. And I have been a learner throughout my life. Even now, nowadays, I'm just in on the side, just learning Python a little bit here and there. Sometimes, as a hobby, I just do some questions on lead code. While that's nothing which would ever impact any of my work which I do, it's something which just sort of inspires me and keeps me like motivated. So solving this difficult problem is something which I always like. And I want to do something which creates an impact, which I can see. Doesn't mean it has to be very short term, but it's just something that when you build something or when you solve something and it gets implemented and when you see it happening on the ground, right? For example, one of the projects I was working on was a due diligence where, and that was in Australia, where a large conglomerate was looking at buying out a logistics startup. The startup was based out of UK while the conglomerate was in Australia, and the technology was like completely complementary to their business. And we evaluated that project and we recommended to them that, yeah, they should go and buy them at a particular price point. And eventually, after we got done with the project, like they actually went out and bought it. And that came out in the news. And I mean, when you see that happening, when I mean, the starting point for the company was that they felt that the startup was actually pretty expensive and it didn't make any sense because all the business heads in the company felt like they could create something like that at their own. While for us, it's the way it looked like that they're gonna actually miss out on a big opportunity. So it was a big task to one, make a very strong case of why it made sense for them to buy, and second, convince the management that it was the right decision. So when we actually saw that happening and there was a news article about it, it just felt good that yeah, whatever you have done actually made all the sense. So these are two things which I think keep me going, and overall in my career as well, and I think probably in life as well, I just want to be doing like continue to do them, like make an impact. Could be anything, could be in business sense, could be in social sense as well. Like some of the most fulfilling things in life for me have been when I saw that whatever work we have done has led to improving people's lives. It could be employees of a company, or it could be a social impact project where, as BCG, we do quite a lot of social impact work where we do pro bono consulting for governments, where we do pro bono consulting for some of the largest NGOs in the world, be it BMGF or be it WWF, be it like so various organizations, right? So I think those things as well just inspire me. So I think these are the two, three things which keep me going, and I would just want to continue doing them.
So I think we have covered everything. Mayank, do you have any other questions?
Finally, what would be top three advices you would like to give to your juniors who would be listening to you right now?
I'll have to think about three. I'll just go about what I feel what would have made sense to me had I been in this position, or like if someone told me this when I was in your position, right? I think first would be what we discussed already, that you don't have to be super clear about whatever you're doing, because I, for one, wasn't very sure on where it is heading. It's just that whatever you are doing, be very passionate about it and give it your best, because it wouldn't hurt later in the life if you try something and fail at it. That's not something you would ever repent about. You would repent about things where you felt like you could have done this, but you didn't give it your best shot. So that would be like one of the biggest advices that I would have for the juniors, that just aim for something big and work towards it. It could be anything.
So that is great. I think we have covered almost your entire journey. Thank you for being such an awesome guest and an awesome alumni. And we both hope to stay, we both and all other juniors are hoping to stay in touch with you for many more mentorship sessions.
Thank you so much, Shreyas and Mayank, for having me here. It was a good experience. And always, whenever you get a chance to reflect back on your life, I always like those moments. So very happy to be here and look forward to seeing you both probably in future again.